Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We've spoken about those on the Acts 2 Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ and their choice of whether to please God and respond to the gospel message that was preached to the salvation of their souls or the forgiveness of all past sins and entrance into the kingdom of God at that time, the Lord's church. For the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts 2, around verse 47. Then we spoke of Stephen. We spoke about the audience that was there, having previously spoken in that lesson yesterday about Ananias and Sapphira and the choice of pleasing God and telling the truth or lying, and in their case, being stricken dead. Let's continue to move on now to a wonderful Bible character, Saul by name, of Tarsus, a very studious and knowledgeable Jew, a Hebrew of Hebrews, one who was very well trained in Judaism, had a great conscience, and had the constitution of character, if I may say it that way, that he lived by his conscience. Where he had done some things that were wrong, he didn't know they were wrong, because he didn't necessarily do things that he thought were wrong. In Acts 23 verse 1, after becoming a Christian, living several years as a Christian, he said, "I have lived in all good conscience until this day." So he was talking about how he didn't just merely let his conscience be his guide without any kind of guidance from God, but he had the old law of Moses down. He had that understood. And he knew what Judaism was about. And no doubt he'd heard of this person, Jesus of Nazareth. But let us look to see what's happening first in chapter 8, verse 1 of Acts. Think about choices that you and I make in our lives. They're either pleasing God or they're not pleasing God. And Saul was consenting to his death, meaning Stephen, who was stoned, in chapter 7. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. What a wonderful story. We still got Saul out there doing damage to the church, thinking he's extinguishing or trying to serve God Almighty by persecuting a, quote, false religion, unquote. He's wrong about that, but he's going to get it together in the next chapter. But first, let's look at this man, a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery, chapter 8, verse 9 of Acts. In the city, and he astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, we'll pause here at verse 22 and say that Simon the sorcerer had a good thing going in some people's mind. He was bewitching the people. They thought he was some great thing. He was conducting sorceries, though. He wasn't doing anything that was of God or pleasing to God in this regard. And then here comes Philip preaching the gospel of Christ, helping people, if they want to become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as them that were baptized into Christ, put on Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Simon heard the word. Simon saw the miracles. Simon the sorcerer knew the real deal. Not his sorceries, but truly, truly, Philip was not God, but was doing works that were of God and by the power of God. He made a mistake as a baby Christian, really quick after his conversion, wanting to buy this power so that he could lay hands on someone and they would receive the opportunity to do miraculous gifts during the early days of the church. The gifts were given for inspiration, and then revelation would come forth from the inspiration, and then confirmation in order to prove that what was being taught orally was from God. Jesus could have snapped his fingers and said everybody'd be well when he was on the earth. He didn't do his miracles just to make people well, and he wasn't making everybody well, but rather he used that tool of God properly, as it should be used for those who had the gifts, so that people would know to listen to the words that they were saying, because they were of God and they were confirmed by the miracles that followed. Here comes the rebuke to a Christian now. Simon the sorcerer truly was converted. He truly became a Christian. He was baptized into Christ. He believed that Jesus is the Son of God. He repented of his past sins. He confessed Christ. He believed, repented, and confessed. And he was baptized into Christ. But now he sinned. So we get a clue here. Well, how do you seek forgiveness from God and get it when a Christian sins? Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, verse 22, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Now, Peter is inspired of God, and he's telling Ananias that he can repent and say a prayer himself to God and ask for forgiveness and receive it. So we know, because this is coming from the mouth of an inspired man, that this is the truth. Well, look what happens. Verse 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So it is evident that the prayer took place and everything was fine as far as Simon the sorcerer receiving the remission of his sins. It could be today that you or I sin if we're a Christian. We're not to be baptized in water again. Believing that our conversion was correct, we would use this part of God's plan of forgiveness. The plan of forgiveness of sins for the Christian, not for the alien sinner, not for the non-Christian. But being a Christian, you don't become a Christian again. You don't keep getting born again, born again, born again. No, the new birth occurred when you became a Christian, if you did what God said do, in order to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And afterward, if we sin, we can confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:6-9. And here we have a wonderful example of repentance and prayer for the forgiveness of the sins of a Christian. Well, let's move over to chapter 9, and we're almost out of time. But we want to bring Saul up again, because Saul was making havoc of Christians' homes. He was persecuting them. Then Saul, verse 1 of chapter 9, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, meaning the way of God, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Got Saul's attention. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Uh-oh. Here's where kind of a moment of truth happens. The light bulb comes on. Saul gets it now. Uh-oh. He's been involved in working against God's Messiah. Paul knew who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus' followers were, and he's persecuting them. And now he gets this voice from heaven, and he understands Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he's been persecuting the wrong people. He has an opportunity to obey the gospel. Paul, or Saul, was not saved on the road to Damascus. That's false teaching. He's going to go into the city where it will be told him what he must do to be saved. He fasts and prays for 3 days and nights. He's not saved. Oh, his heart is tender and he's being converted to Christ. But the man of God, Ananias, will come to him and preach words unto him whereby he could be saved. Tune in, please, tomorrow, Lord willing. And we're going to talk more about this point that was pivotal in the life of Saul of Tarsus. He made the right choice to please God. When you are and I are confronted with the right choice and the wrong choice, what do? God help us all that we make good decisions for ourselves, our family, our loved ones and friends, and as a good example of a soldier of Christ making good choices to please Him. Thank you so much for listening. Have a pleasant day. Tune in tomorrow, please.